Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's 9/29/2013. We made it another day. Bombs away. Here's Watcher Ruth speaking to you from Here, There, and Everywhere land. Estacada, Oregon. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Gonna kind of just bum around a little bit today. Don't really have a whole lot on my mind. I haven't really been able to get in tune the last few days very well. I was in a bad mood yesterday. I'm in a little bit better mood today. My chicken is still hanging in there. I've been spoon feeding her water and hand feeding her food. I don't know how long I can do this. But anyway, I hope everyone is blessed today in some major way. And that they know where they're grounded in and know where they're going to and know what it's all up to. Because if we don't, we're in such trouble. And I was kind of laughing the other day reading a post that someone had posted about having such a finite group of people they could relate to. And that their family members didn't really like them very much, and the crazy talk they talk, and kind of treated them like they were drug addicts or prostitutes or something worse than that. And isn't it funny that Christians are being treated that way now? Because everything is upside down and inside out. Nothing is right. Everything is wrong. And it's going to be such a confusing time for all the people that don't have their feet grounded in Jesus Christ. And then, you know, don't you know in the scriptures it says that Satan is the creator of confusion, and he only has but a short time to rule and reign, and boy, he's going to throw out as much confusion as he can. And that's why it's very important to stay in prayer every day and talk to the Lord every day so you don't stray too far away from the path. Because if you do, what will happen is you become so jaded by the world's economy that when you try to go back into God's economy, it takes you so long to get there. I mean, you have to walk farther to get there. It takes longer to go talk to God if you haven't been there for a while. I don't know if you understand what I mean. But anyway, if you go to the well every day, you just might draw a little bit more water out than the average bear. But, you know, there's such a controversy going around about the past and roots and the former things and the things that were, the things that are, the things that will be. You know, all we have is the Word of God to trust. And there's certain things that you just can't change that's in here. If you believe that the Scripture is Holy Word inspired, then you just can't ditch it. You got to take it. Then it's full and complete context. So, because I'm going to just kind of bum around today as fast as I can through a few different passages picked out by me, not led, not spirit-led passages, okay? So, for what that's worth. But I'm going to go to the book of Nehemiah in the chapter 9. And start reading. On October 10th, the people returned for another observance. This time they fasted and they clothed themselves with sackcloth. They sprinkled dirt on their heads and they separated themselves from everyone else. They prayed. Added that. The laws of God were read aloud to them for 2 or 3 hours, and for several more hours they took turns confessing their own sins and those of their ancestors. Now, I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to put a little story in. It's not even really a story because it really happened, but it's a story about what happened. Have you ever sinned a sin that you thought was such a substantial sin that if you did not go before a brother or two or a sister or two and confess your sin, that you couldn't be completely wiped away from it, even with a contrite heart? I have. In fact, there was a day I went to church. It was a Sunday, quite similar to this one. My heart was so burdened with this sin, and I was so heavily convicted with it that I went and told my deacon that day in church, can you please come over to my house after church and bring your wife and bring another? And they did. They came. And I separated myself from my family with them and sat down and began to weep. This was not quite something they were prepared to deal with, and it was quite a confusing situation, but I was convicted to do so. When I began my conversation, giving description of my sin, weeping before them, asking for forgiveness, we all went home. They went home. I was already at home. Having a different thought, thinking different things about me. And to this day, I haven't had to repent that sin again. Now, that's going along on to about 11 years, 12 years ago, so just saying that a truly repentant heart will turn you away from sin, even the most substantial ones. And everyone worshiped the Lord their God. Some of the Levites were on the platform praising the Lord God with their songs of joy. These men were Joshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Shabani, Buni, Sherebiah, and Kenai, I think it is. Then the Levite leaders called to the people, stand up and praise the Lord your God, for he lives from everlasting to everlasting. He was, he is, he will be, he always was. Praise his glorious name. It is far greater than we can think or say. All right. I don't want to go through all the leaders' names again. Then Ezra prayed, you alone are God. You have made the skies of the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. You alone preserve everything. You are all and all. And the angels of heaven even worship you. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham and brought him from Ur of the Chaldeans and renamed him Abraham. He was faithful to you. You made a contract with him forever. And you made this with his descendants to give them the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites. And now you have done what you have promised, for you are always true to your word. You saw the troubles and sorrows of your ancestors in Egypt, and you heard their cries from beside the Red Sea. You displayed great miracles against Pharaoh and his people, for you knew how brutally the Egyptians were treating them. You have a glorious reputation. because of those never-to-be-forgotten deeds. You have divided the sea for your people so they could go through on dry land. And then you destroyed their enemies in the depths of the sea, and they sank like stones beneath the mighty waters when you led our ancestors by a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night so that they could find their way. You come down upon Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven, and you gave them all good laws and true commandments, including the laws about the holy Sabbath, and you command them through your Moses servant to obey all the law. And then you gave them bread from heaven when they were hungry, and you gave them water from a rock when they were thirsty. Excuse me. And you commanded them to go in, and you conquered the land before them, and you've sworn to give them the land. And to Moses and to our ancestors, they were a proud and stubborn lot, and they refused to listen to your commandments, and they refused to obey, and they didn't pay any attention to all the miracles you did before them. And instead, they scoffed and they rebelled. And then they appointed another leader to take them back into slavery. But God always forgives, and he always is ready to pardon because he's gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, and he is full of love and mercy. And God never abandons his people. Even though they made a calf idol and proclaimed that that was their God, he brought them out of Egypt, and they have sinned in so many ways. But it is his great mercy, and he will not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillars of cloud which led them forward by day and the pillar of fire showed to them by night will shine throughout the night and the day when you send your good spirit back to instruct them. And you did not stop giving them bread from heaven or water for their thirst. For you suffered them and to sustain them in the wilderness for 40 years when they lacked nothing at all in that time. And their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. Though they walked through the valley of the shadow of death, they had no fear, for their shepherd's rod and staff helped them. And then you helped them conquer great kingdoms and many nations, and you placed your people in every corner of the land, and they completely took over the land of King Sihon of Heshbon and King Og of Bashan. So you give them to their enemies, but in their time of trouble they cried to you and you heard them from heaven. And in great mercy you sent them saviors who delivered them from their enemies. But the Lord says, be patient, the time is coming soon when I will stand up. And I will accuse all the evil nations, for it is my decision to gather together the kingdoms of the earth and pour out my fiercest anger and wrath upon them. And all of the earth shall be devoured with my fire. It is the fire of jealousy. And at that time, I will change the speech of my returning people to pure Hebrew, so that all can worship the Lord together. And on that day, an announcement to Jerusalem will be clear. Cheer up. Don't be afraid. For the Lord your God has arrived to live among you. He is the mighty Savior. He will give you victory. He will rejoice over you in great gladness. He will love you and not accuse you. He is listening. Can you hear the joyous choir? It is the Lord himself exalting over you. It is his happy song. And he says, I have gathered your wounded and taken away your reproach, and I will deal severely with all who have oppressed you. It is my plan, and it is good, my good pleasure, that I will save the weak, and I will save the helpless, and I will save those who have been crushed, and I will bring them together. Those who were all chased away, I will give glory to all the former exiles, all who have been mocked, all who have been shamed. At that time, I will gather you together, and I will bring you home again. I will give you a good name, a name of distinction, a name among all the peoples of the earth, and they will praise you when I restore you, when I restore all of your fortunes before your very eyes, says the Lord. Well, you may be saying what terrible people you've been talking about, but wait a minute. You're just as bad. When you say they are wicked and they should be punished, you're talking about yourselves. For you do the very same things they do. And we know that God is a God of justice and will punish anyone who does these things. Do you think that God will judge and condemn others for doing these things and then overlook you when you do them? Don't you realize he's just being patient with you, or do you not just care? Can't you see that he's been waiting all this time without punishing you to give you time to turn away from your sin? Don't you understand what his kindness means? It's meant to lead you to repentance. So if you don't want to listen, you go on saving up terrible sins, then what you have waiting for you is punishment. And there's going to be a time to come when the wrath of God will be the judge of all of the world. So, clearly understand. That you will be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. And that you will have the rich experience of knowing Christ with real certainty and real clear understanding. For God's secret plan. For those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, there is a secret plan being revealed. Now at last made known. Christ himself. And in him lie all the hidden, all that is hidden, all that is mighty, all the untapped treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this because I'm afraid that someone might say that you're foolish, and they may fool you with smooth talk. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. Happy because you are getting along so well. Happy with you because you're strong in faith. Happy with you because you trust in Christ to save you. Happy because for each day's problems, you live in vital union with him. Putting aside the world's problems, let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all he has done for you. And don't let others spoil your faith and joy with their vain philosophies and their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of what Christ has said. For in Christ there is all of God in the human body. So you have everything when you have Christ, and you are filled with God through your union with Christ. He is the highest ruler with authority over every other. When you come to Christ, he is the one who sets you free from your evil desires. He has done this not by a bodily operation of circumcision, but by a spiritual operation, by the baptism of your soul. For it is in the baptism of your soul that you see how your old evil nature dies and is buried with him when you're raised up out of death, then with him into a new life. When you're buried with Christ and raised to live a new life, you live in him because you're dead to sin. New life because you trusted the word of the mighty God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead in sin, and then your sinful desires were not then yet cut away. Then he gave you a share of the very life of Christ when he forgave you of all of your sin. And now, when you're raised to live a new life in Christ, your sins are blotted out. The charges can no longer be proved against you. The list of his commandments which you had not obeyed, he took this list of sins and destroyed it by nailing it to the cross of Christ. In this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin, and God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. Taken away. And he says, do not bring this sin back into my remembrance, because I have put it as far away as the east is from the west. And I wish to remember it no more. So don't let anyone criticize you for what you eat or what you drink, or for not celebrating holidays, Jewish holidays, or feasts on new moons, or ceremonies, or Sabbaths. For these were only temporary rules that ended when Christ came. They were only shadow of the things to come. The real thing, Christ himself. Don't let anyone declare you're lost when you refuse to worship angels, as they say you must. They have seen a vision. They say, and now you should do this, and now you should do that. These proud men, they have a very clever imagination. But they're not connected to Christ, the head of all of us, whom in whose body we are joined, when we are joined together by his sinews. And we gain our nourishment from him. In his strength, he comes straight from God. And he has died. And we are dead in him and live again. We are not no longer bound by such rules. Why do you keep right on following them anyway? Still bound by such rules as not eating, tasting, or even touching certain foods. Such rules are mere human teachings, for food was made to be eaten and used up. These rules may seem good, for rules of this kind require strong devotion and are humiliating and hard on the body. But they have no effect when it comes to conquering a person's evil thoughts and desires. They are but a shadow of the truth. They only make those wise men proud. Let you yourselves be alive in Christ who rose from the dead. And let you be putting your sights on rich treasures and the joys of heaven, where Jesus sits beside God in place of honor, and he says, fill your thoughts with me, and don't spend time worrying about the things on earth. Don't listen to the doctrines of men that make void the word of God. Put away these sinful earthly things. Deaden the evil desires lurking within you and have nothing to do with sexual sin, impurity, lust, and shameful desires. Don't worship the good things of this life, for they are all adultery. That's this fleshly world. Since you have been chosen by God, who has given you this new kind of life, and because of his deep love and concern for you, you should be practicing in tender-hearted mercy to love each other in kindness and not being worried about making a good impression on men. They just want to suffer in together out in the public, keeping upon themselves sin. And not helping the widow, not helping the poor, not helping the abandoned. Even though they know there's abandoned out there, and even though they've been told to go seek out the lost sheep, they still stand in their pulpit not looking for the lost sheep because they're so proud. They are the slaves of earthly masters. And they're not trying to please God. They're only trying to please the men that are watching them all the time, obeying the laws of men and not wanting to please the Lord. But you are to be working hard cheerfully all the time in all the things you do, just as though you were working for the Lord all the time and not merely working for your masters on earth, remembering that it is the Lord Christ who is going to pay you. And when he returns, that he plans on giving you your full measure. And if you do not do your best for him in a way that he likes, he will have no special favors for you. And you will not be able to shrink away from him. Do you not know, and can you not understand, that he will be like our ancestors and we will be there, led by a pillar of a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night? And he will come down upon Mount Sinai and speak with everyone from here to there about the good laws and the true commandments, the word of God from heaven. And as they were walking along, suddenly there was a chariot of fire. Be quiet. Be quiet. And listen. Elijah saw it and cried out, my father, the chariots of Israel and the charioteers. They were there when the young prophets of Jericho saw what had happened. They exclaimed, the spirit of Elijah rests upon Elisha. And they went to meet him and they greeted him. And they brought him out and he went to the city. And he went out to the city well and threw salt in it and declared, the Lord has healed these waters and they shall no longer cause death or miscarriage. And sure enough, the water was purified, just as Elisha had said. So there you go, the purified water is ready for you to drink if you go to the well. On October the 10th, the people returned for another observance. This time they fasted and they clothed themselves with sackcloth and they sprinkled dirt on their heads and they separated themselves and they prayed and they fasted. Thank you for tuning in. God willing, we'll all be around tomorrow. Have a blessed day. See you next time.